Amen. We are privileged to have Brother and Sister Blue. Every year they kindly work us into their schedule. They drove from North Carolina yesterday to be here in this service this morning. And we're privileged to have them, and our hearts are touched every time. And just great people of character and of Spirit of the Lord. And let's just believe God. This, by the way, I just want to serve a notice. This service is not over. God has not finished what he's going to do in this service this morning. He's going to do some great things in the remainder of this service. Amen. Let's pray for Brother and Sister Blue as they come this morning. Would you stretch forth a hand and ask the Lord to have his way? Hallelujah.
Well, everybody say praise the Lord. Wonderful Spirit of God in the service today, and that helps us all to feel a little refreshed regardless of what the past week has meant to you. And no doubt it's been a busy week, hot, and lots of other things that drain us physically. For us, it's been travels, but I certainly enjoy being in the presence of the Lord who strengthens us and gives us what we need in this service today. Amen. We're so glad to be back in Dayton, Ohio, and for several years now it's been an annual routine for us to show up at Camp Dove, and we just really like Camp Dove, and I appreciate the pastor's encouragement to all of you adults to make Camp Dove a part of your schedule this week. And I thought as he was encouraging you to do so, I had an elderly neighbor. I believe he was 88 years old, maybe 89, and he looked out one day and saw this elderly neighbor was planting a peach tree in his backyard. And so he went over and he just said to the neighbor that he was a little concerned, you know, that he was exercising all of this effort to plant this tree and worried about his health. And he said, and furthermore, sir, you probably will never eat of the fruit of this tree. And the neighbor said, you're right, I probably won't ever eat peaches from this tree, but I've ate peaches all my life and enjoyed them, and now I want to do something for the next generation. Amen. And plant a peach tree this week, why don't you? Get in and pray around the altars with these boys and girls and invest in their life. You've enjoyed the blessings of God, amen, all your life. Encourage these children to also experience God in their lives. And I can report to you from our summer travels, this will be our third youth camp that we preached in already this summer. And besides that, we've done 3 kids' crusades and a VBS. And I can tell you that God is moving in the lives of children. And I believe that even those tweens that we call them, you know, not quite teenagers, but maybe a little older than the children, God cares about them and God's working in their life. And if we wait until they become teenagers to try to reach them, in a lot of cases, we've waited too long. So we've got a great opportunity here, and we really appreciate the investment of this church in Camp Dove. And also, I'm also very aware that we've got new set of circumstances this year with a new camp, and none of us really knows exactly what to expect out there. But I'm reminded of a little plaque that my daughter gave to us back when we were going through a big transition in our life. And how many of you know that transitions are sometimes traumatic and stressful because we don't really like change? And my daughter gave me this little plaque that had the word change on it. It had a picture of a really curvy mountain road. And then in smaller letters below it, it said, a bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. Right? So there are bends in the road, but it's not the end of the road for Camp Dove. And we're going to make this turn, aren't we? I said, we're going to make the turn, aren't we? Praise God. We don't crash here. We go on and just accept the changes that God sends our way. Well, hallelujah. We're glad to be here and enjoying the presence of the Lord. Turn with me this morning into the New Testament. Book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 11, if you will. John chapter 11. I'm going to read from a very familiar story today. This is the story of the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. What a miracle that is. Amen. Let's stand together and let's read John chapter 11, verse number 4. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Then we read down a little bit farther in verse number 11. "These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, yet shall never die. Believest thou this?" Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Obviously, I could read the whole chapter. It's all interconnected. But let's just pause there and let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here today already. Spirit of God, we've enjoyed how you've touched the choir to sing to us, the testimony that we've already heard, and the many other indications of your presence among us. And now, Lord, I pray that you would anoint the preaching of your word today, that you would enable me to say those things that you've given me to say today. In Jesus' name, we'll give you the praise. Amen. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want to preach to you this morning this message that I'll title, Revival in the Graveyard. Amen. Revival in the Graveyard. Now, I've read a couple of scriptures from this chapter that sort of summarize the events of Lazarus's sickness and then his ultimate death, and then Jesus confronting the grieving sister Martha, actually the grieving sisters, but where we resumed reading in verse 25, Jesus was speaking to Martha, and Martha especially is having great difficulty with this loss of her brother. And Jesus speaks to her these awesome and powerful words that he is. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. There's a lot of things that are happening in this chapter, and most often we cut straight to the chase, so to speak. We want to run on ahead and read about the mighty miracle that Jesus performed here. And it is a mighty miracle. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Amen. I mean, we know that he has healed the sick. He has opened blinded eyes. He has healed deaf ears. He has walked on the water. Numerous miracles. Amazing. Every one of them. And then we might even put this towards the top of the list, so to speak. Jesus raised a man that has been in the grave for 4 days. Hallelujah. How awesome is that? Amen. But I want to remind you today, if the Lord will help me, that Jesus was working in other ways in the graveyard that day. And there were other things happening that may not be at first recognized as a miracle, and yet I'd like to think that they were miracles. Maybe little miracles as we might consider them, but is any miracle really a little miracle? Hallelujah. I mean, we rejoice today with Brad and Tricia, the testimony that they shared with us. That's a big miracle. Amen. And we praise God for that. Everything that God does falls in the realm of greatness. And so when we when we stop and think about it today, I think you'll recognize the hand of God at work, not just inside the tomb and what He does with Lazarus, but outside the tomb, on the perimeter of things, there in the graveyard. Jesus is doing things in the hearts and lives of people that I think equate to revival. And we certainly need revival, friends. We need a move of God today like never before. Amen. Does God move in cemetery situations? Does God move in graveyard surroundings? I want to tell you, absolutely yes. And no matter how hopeless the case, or how desperate the situation, or the emptiness in your life, Jesus specializes, amen, in times just like this. Praise the Lord. Let me recap for you some of the events that happened in this chapter. First of all, let me just give you a caution. There are some lessons to be learned here that are difficult for all of us even still yet today. But they are important and powerful lessons. And one of them is found here in the early verses of this chapter, where the sisters sent to Jesus saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Amen. And then we go on to read that Jesus tarries 4 days, amen, before he actually arrives at the cemetery. And we're struggling with this at first, to think that Jesus gets an invitation to come and answer a request of a heartfelt prayer for a brother that is sick. And then they also reveal to us in this verse that this is not just anybody. This is somebody that you care about, Lord. This is somebody that you love. Amen. Now, thankfully, we do know this morning that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. So He loves us all equally, doesn't He? He loves the whole world. Amen. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Amen. How many of you have felt the love of God in your own life? Raise your hand if you feel like God loves you. Amen. Or I might even ask you, if you don't feel loved today, do you still believe that He loves you? Yes, He does. Amen. We know that the Scriptures make it clear that God loves us and Jesus loves us. And that's important to us today, to remember that Lazarus was a man that Jesus loved. Jesus cares about Lazarus, and yet this sickness, and yet this ultimate result of it, the death. And we have a great difficulty with that, because Jesus gets the request, and yet He tarries for some period of time until the situation grows worse and it becomes the ultimate result of the sickness, which is death. Amen. Jesus' pause here is a hard thing for us to swallow. Amen. To think that Jesus would delay. Amen. That he would put us off. That He wouldn't come to our rescue in the moments where we think that we need Him the most. This is a great hardship for human beings, because we live within the realm of time. We measure everything by minutes, and we can almost hear the second hand ticking. I'm very conscious of the time here this morning myself. It's not going to change the length of my sermon any, but I am conscious of the time. Amen. I'd like to preach to you today because I feel like God wants to help us in this service. And so Jesus pauses. But I think that if you've been a Christian any length of time, you know the reality is that God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. He operates in a different time frame than us. But sometimes He does pause. There is a delay. But that doesn't mean He's not going to answer our request. It may mean that He's going to answer it in a much greater way than you had even imagined before. Praise God. But He delays. Amen. I don't like these delays. I don't like sitting at traffic lights. I don't like being put on hold on the phone. Come on now. I don't like sitting in the waiting room at the hospital, waiting, waiting, waiting. Amen. But sometimes God puts us in the waiting room, doesn't He? Sometimes it's like He's put us on hold. And sometimes it's like we're sitting there with our hands on the wheel at a red light. But I'm going to tell you that just because it feels that way to us, it doesn't mean that God has quit working. Amen. Jesus is working. I believe that character is always more important than our comfort. That He is trying to build character in us. And that character is more important than comfort. God is developing His people. James said that the trying of our faith worketh. Amen. Amen. The trying of our faith worketh. And some of you are saying patience, but that patience turns into something else, and it keeps growing. The fact is that the trying of our faith worketh. Amen. God is at work in our life, in the trials of our life. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a confusion here. We think that Jesus doesn't care if He doesn't act immediately. There is a conflict here. In fact, the disciples at first, they pick up on it. Lord, we don't understand what You're saying. You say He's asleep. That must mean that He's feeling better. He's resting. He's doing well. Jesus had to explain, Lazarus is dead. And then He gets there to the graveyard and He meets Martha, who immediately says, Lord, if You would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If You would have showed up, Lord, this would not have happened. She's not the only one that says that, though. A little later on, Mary comes and basically says the same thing. Lord, if You would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. The mourners, the Jews that are mourning there in the cemetery, they say ultimately the same thing. Oh, if He could have, you know, He was able to do this if He would have just been here. I'm telling you, amen, God is working whether we understand it or not. Now, there's one more thing before I move on here that is puzzling to us. When the disciples argue with Jesus about this sleeping and death, you know, discussion, Jesus speaks up and says, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. Now, I know there's more to the verse, and I'm going to read on, but I just want you to let that sink in a little bit. Amen. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. Now, there's more to it, but think about that. Amen. Jesus says to them these startling words. Amen. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes. Hello? Amen. How can He be glad even for our sakes when the tears are running down our face, when our heart is broken, when our minds are confused, when doubt is coming in like a flood and fear is overflowing us like a storm? How can He say that He's glad for our sakes? Because He's living outside the realm of the calendar. He's looking ahead to the ultimate goal, and He knows the final outcome of things. And brother and sister, it's all going to work together for the glory of God. Amen. Oh, if we could just get a hold of that this morning and understand that God's delays are not necessarily God's denials, and this pause of Jesus, amen, has a purpose. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so now He arrives on the scene. They've already had the funeral. He's already been buried behind this the rolled stone. Amen. Lazarus is gone as far as everybody's concerned, and nothing can be done about that. Amen. And in the wake of all of that are these mourning sisters weeping and working their way through the grief and the sorrow. And Jesus shows up on the scene. And I want to tell you this morning, amen, that regardless of the scene of your life, if Jesus shows up, my friend, that's a good thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. No matter how bleak it looks or how black it looks, when Jesus shows up, there's the potential that things are going to turn around in ways that we cannot imagine. Somebody lift your hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to see in this chapter not only Jesus pause, but Jesus' pain. He is not disconnected from the emotion of this situation. Amen. He is not disconnected. Even though we read those startling words, "I am glad for your sakes," still yet when he arrives on the scene, we have the most beautiful and shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Amen. Jesus wept because he loved Lazarus. Jesus wept because he could associate with the pain that these sisters and these other neighbors were going through. I'm telling you that God feels our pain, and we have a high priest who is able to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what we're going through. He associates with that. He sees our tears. He hears our cries. He is not disconnected from the pain that we're going through this morning. I'm glad that we've got a Lord that loves us that way, that loves us that much, that he is with us in the midst of our sorrow and our struggles. Hallelujah. When I said to you a while ago that I want to preach on revival in the graveyard, I've got three things in mind that I want to say to you that I associate with revival. Amen. But first of all, when we describe the situation of Lazarus's passing and the grief of the sisters and all of that, I want you to know that this is not necessarily a funeral message. I'm not just preaching to those who may have recently lost a loved one and are still battling with grief, because death, I believe, comes to us with many faces. Amen. It's not just a final reality of our physical passing out of this world, but amen, there is such a thing as the death of a dream in a man's life. Come on now. Amen. And some of you have experienced the death of a dream. Amen. The dreaded death of the goals that you had set before you. The death of a career that you had worked so hard towards and worked so hard in. Suddenly to have the rug suddenly pulled out from under you. It feels like grief to you. Amen. Something important to you and valuable to you has been taken away. Amen. The death of a dream, the death of a goal, the death of, amen, of so many things in your life. Amen. How about the death of a marriage that some time ago you thought was so vibrant and so, amen, so wonderful? How did it fall so sick, and how has it become, amen, in this condition? I'm going to tell you, death is all around us in a variety of ways. Amen. The Bible tells us that you are dead in your trespasses and sins. Really, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, if you don't have Jesus in your life, if you've never repented of your sins, the Bible describes that as death. Something in you has never experienced life. Or maybe some of you here today have experienced that life, but something's missing now. Something's gone now. Where did the love go? Where is your relationship with God today? Something has died. But I believe in revival in the graveyard. I believe that regardless of how hopeless things may look to you today, that Jesus is here and that he's able to help, and he can turn it all around. Praise God. Hallelujah. Revival shows up in this cemetery in three ways. Number one, I see revival as reassurance. Amen. Reassurance. Amen. Jesus is not having these conversations with Lazarus. Lazarus is on a cold slab, amen, inside the tomb. He is having these conversations with the sisters. And we learn so much from it, because Jesus shows up in the midst of our grief and he begins to speak words of reassurance to us. Basically, he's saying, it's gonna be all right. Amen. How can you say that, Lord? Don't you know what we've been through? It's gonna be all right. Praise God. I know that might sound hollow and shallow to some of you here today, but the fact is, God just simply wants you to be reassured this morning that this is not the end of it. This is not how it, this is not the finality of it. He's not done yet. It's going to be all right. You're coming out of this. You're going through this. You're going to survive. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, what a miracle reassurance is. Amen. Jesus speaks to Martha, who says, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Amen. Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Amen. He interjects hope. Hallelujah. Praise God. Interjects hope into the conversation. Now she knows, she believes in the final resurrection. And so she goes that way with the conversation. But for this moment, I just want you to understand that the God of all hope, amen, wants you to know, amen, He has a solution to the problem. And the way that things look right now, amen, are not the ultimate outcome. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And He's glad for your sake, amen, that you're going through this, because He sees the end result. A miracle is in the making, and God, amen, is going to work it for you. Praise the Lord. Reassurance. How many times have we, in the loneliest hours of our life, felt the strong hand of God come upon us? Amen. Or His strong arms come underneath us. We didn't know how we got through those dark, bleak hours. But we look back now and we know it was simply God reassuring us, comforting us. The God of all comfort, comforting us with the presence of the Holy Ghost, who, by the way, is our comforter. Reassurance, amen. Not only reassurance, but revelation is in this cemetery. Revelation. They are going to learn something here and see something here that they could not have learned otherwise. We take it for granted because we have portions of this chapter memorized. We've heard so many sermons about Lazarus. We almost yawn our way through it this morning. But how about being the first one to hear these words? Standing there, amen, where you just had the funeral of your brother, and Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. I know, Lord, that Lazarus is going to live again at the last day in the great resurrection. And Jesus said, I want you to know something right here. I am the resurrection. Praise the Lord. Revelation. Jesus shows them something that previously is unknown. But we know, amen, that He is the I am. Praise God. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the living bread. I am the light of the world. I am the door to the sheepfold. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. In other words, Jesus is everything that we need for Him to be this morning. And in the midst of our graveyard experience, it may just be that He wants to reveal Himself to us in some special and personal way. Amen. I am the answer to the problem that you're going through right now. I am the solution, Jesus says. I am the Savior that you so desperately need. I am the healer of your sickness. I am the friend and companion that you need. Friend, what a revelation. Wouldn't it be a revival to you this morning if in the midst of your cemetery experience with death all around you and the decay of it settling into your life and threatening to destroy you, that suddenly God makes you aware of the fact that He is everything that you need today. And He is. Praise the Lord. Reassurance and revelation are there in the graveyard. And those are the basic elements of revival, really. Amen. For all of us who have ever needed revival, we know that sometimes it takes the shape of reassurance. God just reassuring us. And sometimes it comes in the form of a revelation. But ultimately, revival is measured also by restoration. Amen. Praise God. Restoration. Restoration is a wonderful outcome of revival. Amen. To get back something that we've lost. Amen. to retrieve something that we've misplaced, to get back something, amen, that we thought was gone forever, to get to have something returned to us that we thought we would never have again, that we would never experience again, that we would never feel again. And now suddenly the feeling has returned. The joy has come back. The victory is there. The shout has come back. Praise God. We've got a reason to go on. Amen. Because He has restored things to us. In this story, it's the fact that Mary and Martha get their brother back. Hallelujah. That doesn't happen every day, my friend. Amen. But for them, it was a miracle of restoration. It's not just that Lazarus got his life back. That's a tremendous miracle. But I want you to see revival in the graveyard and understand that it wasn't only Lazarus that got something back. Mary and Martha got something back. The community got something back. Friend, when we have real revival, there will be a restoration. Amen. That man that you thought was so far away from God that he could never come back, praise God, there's an opportunity, friend. There's a possibility that he may come back. Restored, renewed. That's the hope of revival. Hallelujah. We were in Joplin, Missouri earlier this year, and we were there last year, not long after the tornado had gone through. So we've seen right after the first devastation, and then we got to go back and see where most of the cleanup had taken place and rebuilding was starting. But there was something I had actually read about in the St. Louis paper and saw a picture that we got to see for ourselves when we were in Joplin that I love so much. Hey, man, not the painful side of it, but to see this image was remarkable. You might remember that with all of the other buildings that were devastated there and destroyed in Joplin, the Joplin High School was also hit severely, totally demolished. And I think even now the high school students the high school's renting space in the mall there. And so they haven't rebuilt the high school yet. But not too many days after that devastating tornado went through there, took 100-something lives and tore up most of the city. One of those high school students went down to survey the damage to the high school. And there it was, all crumpled, buildings leaning over, foundation, you know, buildings ripped off their foundations. And then out front, the sign, Joplin High School. It was damaged also, glass broken and things. And most of the letters on it were torn away. Amen. Joplin High School. Amen. High school, I believe, is gone. The J from Joplin was gone. The L-I-N from Joplin was gone, which means it only left the letters O-P on the sign. And some creative and inspired young person got a roll of duct tape and went over there to the sign and put an H before the O and the P and took that duct tape and made an E afterwards. Hallelujah. Woo, and praise God. Amen. There in the middle of that ruin, there with all of the rubbish all around, amen, there with devastation, tragedy all around, somebody took an opportunity to see hope. Praise God. Do you see it this morning? I'm going to tell you that God is able to restore to you the things that have been taken away from you. In fact, the prophet said he can restore the years that the palmer worm and the canker worm and the caterpillar hath eaten. He's able to restore that. You think you'll never get it back? It won't ever be like it used to be. I don't want to offer you false hope, but I do want to offer you hope. The possibility that when Jesus comes on the scene, he doesn't only reassure us, amen, but he reveals himself to us, and he interjects the possibility that he's going to restore things to us. That sounds like revival to me. Praise God. Revival in the midst of the graveyard. Would you stand with me this morning? Praise Praise the Lord. If the musicians would come. Last September, just a few weeks after being here for Camp Dove, we were privileged to preach a homecoming revival in Virginia. And while we were there, we got acquainted with a family in that church that used to be Amish. They got hungry for more and ended up at this holiness church and got filled with the Holy Ghost and, amen, and changed their lives. Beautiful family. I think they've got 7 children, is it? They invited us to dinner at their house, and it was a great day and a wonderful experience. But before we went, knowing that they wanted us to see the work that they had done and how God had blessed them with this house, I heard the story from the pastor about how they got this house. It was a house that nobody else wanted. And if you ever told the history of the house, you know, no sale could be completed. It was blighted. It was a house with a history, an ugly history of a man who lost his job and in his desperation spiraled out of control. And then finally, drugs, alcohol, and just the trauma of life gave up to the extent that he killed his wife, killed his son, and then killed himself after he had set fire to that house. The whole house had been engulfed in flames. They finally got the fire out, charred the inside, and of course they found the 3 bodies there, and signifying such tragedy, such loss, such hopelessness. And then this family decides that here's an opportunity not only for them to get a house inexpensive, but I believe turn it into a testimony. They took us through the house, all now completely remodeled inside, freshly painted. Scriptures and on the walls. You know how they do that now with the, what do they call that? Stencil? Scriptures on the walls. And then they took us to the one room they designated as their music room. And every one of those children play a musical instrument, and they put on I don't want to call it a performance, but one plays the violin, one plays the harp, guitar, piano is all there in their music room, and to hear the beautiful melodies coming out of that room, you could barely even hear the echoes of the ugly past of that place. In some ways, I think that that house has been redeemed. It's unfortunate that a man could not see that there was a better way, that there was hope. But it's not too late for you this morning. In the charred remains of your life, there can be heard music once again. That house can be a house full of love again. Why don't you let Jesus come and help you with it this morning? Lord, we thank you and praise you for the privilege to be in your house. We thank you for the possibility of revival even in the graveyard. Lord, would you offer today somebody the reassurance that they need? Would you give somebody else, Lord God, the revelation that they need? And help us all, Lord, to be reminded of the power of restoration, because you are the God of revival. Even in the graveyard. How about it this morning? Do you feel like God has been talking to you in some way, why don't you bring that burden to the Lord this morning and let us pray with you about it. Why don't you come and bring that thing and put it on this altar today and let Jesus work in your life. Give Him a chance. He's here. He wants to help you. Is there someone that feels like God's talking to you this morning? Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're a backslider and away from God. It's time for you to be restored to Him. He wants to restore you. Church, would you lift your hands right now and just begin to worship the Lord? Let's wait on God here for a moment. I'm going to have Pastor Hurst come and make the altar call and finish the altar call, but if God's dealing with you right now, it's time to move. If you feel that strong hand of God pulling on you, why don't you move towards Him? He's reassuring you this morning, everything's going to be all right. I don't know when, but He wants you to have hope. Come on, church, praise Him one more time. Praise Him one more time, and then we'll have a general altar call. But let's wait on God here for just a moment.
Hallelujah. I just want to say this. You know the Word of God spoke to you this morning. You know that God was talking to you through Brother Blue's message. I want you to come right now. There's others. You can join these that have come. Amen. I know that God spoke specifically to some because I know the situations. And God was kind enough to send the man of God that doesn't know the situation to speak directly to you. Amen. The message spoke to you this morning. Would you come right now? Right now, you know God was speaking to you. Think about that closing illustration. That's what God wants to do in your life this morning. Oh, He'll make it all different. I know there's others this morning. You know God is speaking to you. There's a struggle going on. But just say yes to God. Just come right now. Make your way this way. Don't hesitate. This is the moment. This is a moment. God has planned, God has purposed to speak to you this morning. You know that God is speaking to you. Are there others? You'd come and join these. Would you come right now? You need restoration. You need reassurance. You need God to reveal Himself to you. What about it? Anyone else? Amen. Would you come right now? Others in the building, would you come? Hallelujah. 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 All right, church, gather in. And as the church comes, it's not too late. God has spoken specifically to you. You just come as the church comes. Let's fill these altars. What a message. God is speaking. He's a God of all restoration. When all hope seems like it's gone, we serve a God who can restore, make anew, make afresh. He's a God of new beginnings. He knows how to renovate. He knows how to restore. One of the greatest portions of all the Bible is Psalm 23. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Do you need your soul restored this morning? Do you need your soul restored? Would you come fill these altars? He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's others this morning. You need your soul restored. You need your soul restored. Let's pray all over this building. God's at work doing eternal things. Hallelujah. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul.